Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? It is a question I asked you this morning, but I have an answer for the question, and the answer is no. There is nothing too hard for our God. Hallelujah. And we are blessed beyond measure because there's nothing too hard for our God. In today's lesson, we're going to talk about sorry, Abram, then Abraham and Sarah. Hallelujah. To show nothing too hard for our God. On yesterday in our lesson, we learned how to pray. And so this morning, I'm going to open us up with the Father's Prayer. And the prayer is just this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Father God, I ask you to increase as I decrease. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For you, Father God, are my strength and my redeemer. Do this in the name of Christ Jesus. I pray that your name be magnified. Hallelujah. Your name be sanctified. And someone be saved. In Jesus' name, again I pray. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength. Hallelujah. I am so grateful. I had a great night's sleep for a change. I slept good. As they say, how'd you sleep? I slept good. I'm grateful for a good night's sleep, for a peaceful rest, for being waking up, clothed in my right mind. Hallelujah. And thanking God for his grace and for his mercy. And the song just kept coming in my soul. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? No, 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 no. Is there anything that he can't do? No, 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 no. I was like, yes, come on now. The Lord is good and there's nothing too hard for him. And so as we get into our lesson this morning, we will be in the Old Testament. Yesterday we were in, and this morning we will be in Genesis. Majority of the time we'll be in Genesis. And then we'll be working our way back into Matthew, hopefully, before we leave. If not, we will be in Matthew on Sunday. Probably today will be pretty much Old Testament, and Sunday will be New Testament. So let's get started. So if you got your Bible, join me in the book of Genesis. And we're going into chapter 13. You know, we are going to be in chapter 15. Excuse me. Let me get myself right. We're going to be in chapter 15 and 16. There we go. And probably 17 as well. And we're getting ready to talk about that baby, that child of promise. And we're going to talk about how, you know, sometimes we want to rush God. You know, well, God said this is going to happen, so I'm just going to make it happen. Now, understand that Sarah, because she's not Sarah yet, Sarah wanted a baby. She's old now. Probably in her 90s. You know, maybe late 80s, somewhere in there. And wanting a child because she's barren. So she decides that she's going to give Abram, her maidservant, to have a child. But we understand how things happen when you go there. When you go down a road that God has not planned for you, things start to happen and then you get mad. You read and see what happens in this story. Because understand that this is the beginning of a family feud. This is the beginning of a family situation that we are dealing with even up until this day. And it says this. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." But Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless?" So he said, "I'll have any kids. So what can you give me?" "And the Lord and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus." Then Abram said, "Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir. Own body shall be your heir." Then he brought him outside and said, "Look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Then he said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit." And he said, "Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it?" So he said to him, "Bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece upon the other, that he did not cut the birds in two. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Then he said to Abram, "Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them for 100 years. Also, the nation whom they serve, I will judge afterwards. They shall come out with great possessions. Now, as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. but in the fourth generation they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. And it came to pass, when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants I have given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the Canaanites, the Kenzanites, and the Cadmonites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Gershurites, and the Jebusites. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. Again, we know God has already told Abram that he was going to give him the descendants that would not be as many as, that would be more than the stars in the sky. But yet here's his wife taking it upon herself, descendants. Now God's already said, and we already know, that there's nothing too hard for God, right? So if God says, this is what I'm going to do, we know that that's what God is going to do. And he doesn't need any help doing it. So let's see what happens here. So Sarai said to Abram, see now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go in to my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. And Abram heeded the voice of Sarai. Then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband to be his wife. After Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, so he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. Because it said, you know, at first, you know, when you hear the story, we just think that, you know, he just kind of did the do with the maid. But actually it says that he took her as a wife. Gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. So now he has two wives. He has Sarai and he has Hagar. And then Sarai said to Abram, my wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace, and when she saw that she has conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between you and me. Now she gonna have an attitude, because the maid's like, hey, I'm the one that's giving the heir, not you. Now it's my baby and not yours. And now she's mad. And now jealousy has come in. Because you know that Egyptian maid was probably young and beautiful. And Sarah was beautiful as well. It said it. Almost started the war in Egypt. Because she was so beautiful. And obviously not. And obviously aging real, real good. Because understand, they lived a long life back then. Was having babies up until they was 100 years old and more. Sarah was sorry. Now she's upset. Because now she's being despised. Because you think this through. I'm going on about my business, doing the work that I've been called to do. And then you going to pull me up and say, I want you to sleep with my husband. And I'll make sure you're his wife, so you're not doing anything wrong, and you need to give him a baby, but it'll be my baby. And the maidservant was like, "If I have a baby and I'm his wife, it's gonna be my baby." And so now there's this issue. I'm sorry, I just be honest. I couldn't be one of them sister wives like they have on the TV. Couldn't do it. I could not share my husband with another woman. There would be something going on, and it would not be the rent. Hallelujah. Let's just call it like it is. I'm not that girl. And obviously, sorry was not either. So Abram said to sorry indeed, your mate is your hand, is in your hand. Wait a minute now. Is she supposed to be your wife? But now you done gave her back to being the maid after you done slept with her and put a baby in her. Now she back to being the maid, and now she your wife's problem, your first wife's problem. Let's see what it says here. Do to her as you please. Dealt harshly with her. She fled from her presence. Now I'm mad that you have a baby in you by my husband. So now I'm going to beat you. I'm going to treat you horribly. When you didn't ask to be his wife. You didn't ask to sleep with my husband. I, your mistress, had you do it. And now that you conceive, I'm jealous and amazed. Let's keep it moving. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Sur. And he said, hey God, Sarai's maid, where have you come from? And where? And she said, I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress, Sarai. The angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly so that they shall not be counted for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, you are the God who sees. She said, have I also here seen him who sees me? Therefore the well was called Beer Lahai-Roi. Observe, it's between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram named his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. So he was old. 86 when he had this little baby. 86. But understand, God told her that not only would she have children, but that her children would dwell among the brethren. And it tells you here, of all his brethren, which means there's going to be other children, right? So even the angel of the Lord is telling Hagar that there will be other children. So let's keep it moving, because like I told you, it was a great word today. You know, the book of Genesis is like awesome. And so now let's keep it going. We're in chapter 17 of the book of Genesis. And it says, then Abram was 99 years old, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you. Kings shall come from you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, throughout their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins. And it shall be a sign of the between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generations. He who is born in your house or brought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant, he who is born in your house, he who is brought with your money, must be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. So, in other words, our sons should be circumcised. And I know at some point in time, I know when my sons were born, they were circumcising babies after birth, or somewhere within the days after birth, the babies were circumcised. And at the time, it was for health reasons, but I know that nowadays they give a choice of circumcision or non-circumcision. But understand, everybody shouldn't be circumcising your baby. If they don't know what they're doing, they don't need to be circumcising your little boy. You know, cut off too much. Come on now. But we have to pray and ask God, you know, your word says a covenant with you is a circumcision of our sons. And we need to believe that. God is his word is exact and it is true. It is exact and it is true. And, you know, I'm not going to go into history on this subject today, but I just say that even back in the 400 years of people coming to this country from the coast of Africa, from West Africa, and from the Middle East, and from the land of Canaan, because slaves came from everywhere. Look, all we have to do is look at Joseph, sold into Egypt, circumcised. And I'm sure that some of those wondered what was up with these folks that they were circumcised. If you look at pictures of, unfortunately, same auctions that are out there, you see that many of these slaves coming in were circumcised. And now you understand why. Because God said many nations. He didn't say just one nation. He said, you shall be the father of many nations. And then it goes on to tell us that God said to Abraham, as for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarah, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. And I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her. So God is making a covenant and letting them know, you guys are going to be the mother and father of many nations. Again, we are family. All this foolishness that goes on about not liking this person or that person because of how they look on the outside and not seeing how they are on the inside. What the? They are family. They're family. We are family. Many nations came from Abraham and Sarah. Many of us, all of us, came from Noah and his wife and sons. Come on now. Noah is our great, 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 way back grandfather. That's why when you look at your DNA, it's going to have 1% of something, and you'll know that that came from Noah. Or it may have more than that. You don't know, but the bottom line is we are all family. And it goes on to tell you, then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Then God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes. Y'all heard that. And I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. Then he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. So Abraham took Ishmael his son, also who was born in his house, and all who were brought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very same day as God had said to him. And the question is, did he wait? Nope. He said, oh, I'll do it next week. I'll do it tomorrow. You know how we do. But he said, this is my covenant with God. And he did it, what? The same day. Abram was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. That very same day, Abram was circumcised, and his son Ishmael, and all the men of his house, born in the house, are brought with money from a foreigner, were circumcised with him. So there was not an uncircumcised man within or boy in the family or in the possession of Abraham, because he, on the day he was told, 99 years old, come on now. Let's keep it moving, y'all. I told y'all today's word was a great, not a good word, but a great word. And then it goes on to tell us in chapter 18 of the book of Genesis. Then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, my Lord, I have now found favor in your sight. Do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your heart. After that, you may pass by inasmuch as you have come to your servant. Now understand, Abram had spoken to the Lord, so he knew who the Lord was. Come on now, let's read this word. They said, do as you have said, because we know that it's Jesus and the angels. Come on now. That's my feeling, because the word, the Lord, is not all through the word. It says exactly what it says. Tells you this. Then he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. And then it tells you here, then the Lord appeared. So if God spoke to Abraham, and if we go back over to chapter 17, verse number 7, it says, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. And then it tells you down further in verse number 8, and it says, I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, say the Lord, it said, and God. So now we're looking at the Father, and now we're talking about the Son. Jesus has always been there. Again, as John said, he is the Word, and he's God in flesh for us. Hallelujah. So understand, God directly spoke to Abraham. And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Then God said no. God went up from Abraham. God had said to him, what is saying here? Now let's keep moving. We're going back to chapter 18, and we're in verse number 7. And it said, and Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and a good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf, which he had prepared, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree as they ate. Then they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? So he said, here in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything, there's our word for today, too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. Then the men arose from there and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to send them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing? Does Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. And the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, I will go down now and see whether they have done, altogether according cry against it that has come to me. And if not, I will know. Then the men turned away from there and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood still before the Lord. And Abraham came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city, would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? For far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? So the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, indeed now, I who am but dust and ashes have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose there were 5 less than the 50 righteous. Would you destroy all the city for the lack of 5? So he said, if I find there 45, I will not destroy it. And he spoke to him yet again and said, suppose there should be 40 found there. So he said, I will not do it for the sake of 40. Then he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 should be found there. So he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, indeed, now I have taken that upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 should be found there. Now he's gone from 50 to 20. Because understand, Lot's there, his nephew. Keep moving, and then it goes on to tell you, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, indeed, now I have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 should be found there. So he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 20. Then he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. But once more, suppose 10 should be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. So the Lord went his way as soon as he had finished speaking from Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. Whew. He went from 50 to 10 not to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Now understand, for the Lord, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Our Lord said that. And the answer is no. And Miss Sarah, decided, okay, wait a minute. I'm almost 90 years old. What are you talking about? I'm gonna have a baby. Really? You know how we do. And no, she didn't say it out loud, which meant he read her thoughts. The Lord knows everything about us. He knows our thoughts. He knows our deeds. He knows what we think. He knows everything about us. He knows what you do in private. He knows what you do in public. He knows everything about you. And this is what the words and the life lessons say. And I thank Dr. Stanley for those, again, who joined us, public service announcement. The Bible that we are reading again this year is the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year, the New King James Version. Again, I thought last year I just knew we were going to be coming out of the new Tony Evans Bible, but the Lord put in my spirit, nope, you're going to do Charles Stanley one more year. So we will be doing this Bible for a year. If you don't have one, I would suggest you get one. I just happen to like King James. I mean, like New King James. I know that King James is very, very similar to King James. So New King James, King James, you're getting the same pretty much wording in both, except for thems and thous, and maybe a few things that may not be exactly the same, but the context is the same. So that's just me throwing that out to you. And it goes on to tell us in a life lesson, Dr. Stanley says, in Genesis 17:5, your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. Even before God fulfilled his promise to Abraham to give him a son through Sarah, that I have made you a father of many nations. God's promises are so solid that he can speak of their future fulfillment in the past tense. Come on now. There is nothing too hard for our God. And as we continue in Genesis chapter 18, verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you, and Sarah shall have a son. Things that we humans find impossible to do, God finds very easy. That is why we can trust all of his promises. We do not have to understand how he will fulfill them. We have only to believe that he will. Come on now. God will fulfill his promises. God will give your seed and your seed. Who would have thought that Abraham at 99 get a child on his wife and have a baby at 100? Only God, only the Lord can do it. Come on now. And it goes on to say, in the life example, Sarah laughing all the way to the crib. Sarah smirked at the words of her husband ringing in her ears. How could she believe the outlandish story? God spoke to me. He had said, he promised to make me the head of many nations, me, a man of 99 years, and he is going to do it through you. Sarah's reaction to the news, much as her dear husband had earlier, she hit the ground laughing. I am 90 years old. I am no longer capable of giving you children. There must be some mistake, but there had been no mistake. God challenged Sarah with the words, is anything too hard for the Lord? And he challenges us today. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? It is not. It's nothing too hard for God. What God has for you is for you. And as we said, your blessings are irrevocable. Can't nobody take what God has given you. Can't nobody do you like Jesus. And that's what the word said. Can't nobody, what the song says, can't nobody do you like the Lord. So if God says, I will do this, if the Lord says, I will do this, then you can take it to the bank. Whatever God has for you is for you. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And your answer should be no, with a big resounding no. Big O N, big O O. No, there is nothing too hard for God. For the Lord, I'm going to get the scripture right. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. And then as we continue, to 9 months later, the birth of a baby boy provided the answer. Sarah's story represents something much greater than one woman's experience. It demonstrates God's unrelenting pursuit of each of us. Despite her faults and persistent lack of faith, Sarah witnessed God return to the impossible. God turned the impossible into reality. So can we. What you think cannot happen, it can. What we ask of God, God would give to us if we ask not amiss. And it goes on to tell us, in Genesis 18 and 25, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? We can rest assured that God, the judge of all the earth, will always do exactly what is right. We never have to fear that he will make a mistake or suffer a lapse in judgment. God is in charge. He's in charge today. He's in charge tomorrow, and he will be in charge for the rest of our days. But he is God, and he is in charge. Too hard for the Lord. Now let us go back. We're going to hit Proverbs and Psalms this morning. And our Psalms for this morning is Psalms chapter 5, verses 8 through 12. And it said, lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your face straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is destruction. Their throat is an open tomb. They flatter with their tongue. Pronounce them guilty, O God. Let them fall by their own counsel. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against you. But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy, because you define them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 10 through 22. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will persevere, will preserve you. Understanding will keep you. Verse 11 again. Discretion. That's that word we need to know. Discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you. You got to be discreet. You don't have to tell everything that somebody tells you. You don't have to go run and tell that. You need to take it to the throne and not to the phone. Come on now. Whatever the situation is, you need to keep your tongue behind your teeth, because some things is only between you and God. And you have to be discreet. What you are told in prayer is between you, that person, and God. And you have to be discreet. And as we continue, it says to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the path of uprightness to walk in the way of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the person. And delight in the perversity of the wicked. Those whose ways are crooked. And I'm going to read verse 14 again. Who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked. You know, there are folks out there that they just wicked. They just wicked. They evil. And they just wrong. You know, and I'll call them out, the perverse that think that they prey on children. Those, to me, are the most wicked people in the world who rejoice in doing evil and delight in perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their path. To deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. We're talking adulterous women and adulterous men, because if you're out there messing around with a married woman, then you're just as bad as she is. For her house leads down to death and her path to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the path of life. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the path of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. God is telling you up front what you should and shouldn't be doing. Already it's in the word. You know, we trust in the word of God, but we know God's word is truth. And as we continue this morning, all I want to say is that we all should be saying together, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And the answer again is no. If he can do it for Abraham and Sarah, he can do it for you and I. Whatever it may be, God can do it. God will do it. He will take care of his children. And we know that we go on Sunday. There is no blog on Saturdays. So on Sunday, we will be in Genesis chapter 19 and 20. And we will be in Matthew chapter 7. And Matthew chapter 8. And I have a couple of more psalms. One more psalm and one more proverb. And then we are done this morning. And the psalm this morning, again, is Psalm chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. And it says, O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. This is David speaking. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver me. O save me for your mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who will give you thanks? And the word says, chapter 6, verse 4. Return, O Lord, deliver me, O save me for your mercy's sake. We do not ask God to rescue and deliver us because we deserve his help. We ask him to come to our aid because he loves to show mercy to his humble, obedient children. When we pray the word. And when you're going through, you got to say, return. Oh, Lord, deliver me. Oh, save me for your mercy's sake. And you might have to ask, for I am your child. And you are my father. And I trust that nothing is too hard for you. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. We got to pray. But you pray the word. And when you pray the word, watch God work. Hallelujah. Watch him work. And then as we go into Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, it says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. And a life lesson from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3 and 4 says, let not mercy and truth forsake you, bind them around your neck. Mercy without truth can lead to ungodly compromise. Truth without mercy can lead to unfeeling legalism. When we pursue both equally and simultaneously, we reflect the heart of God and bring him great pleasure. So we must have mercy and truth. Truth can lead to mercy without truth can lead to ungodly compromise. Remember that. Truth without mercy can lead to unfeeling legalism. We have to have them both. And as a life example, and this is our last for today from Dr. Stanley, says this, the admirable quality of kindness. And, you know, I believe in that fruit of the Spirit, that when you're kind, it comes back to you. Kindness, I think, is like a big circle. When you show kindness to someone, they show kindness to someone else, and that person shows kindness to someone else. And before you know it, the kindness that you showed to one person, full circle, back to you. Kindness begets kindness. But Dr. Stanley says, what does it mean to bind kindness around your neck and write it on the tablet of our heart? It means that kindness should be a deep, central part of our life. Unfortunately, kindness doesn't automatically become one of our characteristics when we accept Christ as our Savior. We have to work at it. We must deliberately take responsibility for our actions and attitudes toward others and choose to act compassionately toward others so what are some things we should do to develop kindness? And these are about, I think, five examples. So the first one is we should realize that even though we don't immediately become kind at salvation, we do have the potential to exhibit kindness because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit develops the quality of kindness, Galatians 5 and 22. Second, we must eliminate those characteristics, actions, and attitudes within us that stop us from being loving, tenderhearted, and useful. We cannot be selfish. Rather, we must lay aside the characteristics that do not fit who we are as believers in order for kindness to flow out of our life. Ephesians 4, chapter 31, verses 31 and 32. Third, we must focus on the needs of other people. Did y'all hear that? We must focus on the needs of other people. As long as we are focused on ourselves, our needs, wants, desires, and plans, we are not going to be very kind. Yet when we focus on others, we will become sensitive to who they are and what they need in life. Isn't God good? Fourth, we must ask God to teach us to be kind. We must look to God to make us sensitive to the situations that need a special touch of kindness and to express his kindness through us. We do so with the hope that people will be attracted to Jesus Christ as their Savior. Because understand, that's Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, which we just read a couple of days ago. But understand, when you show acts of kindness are shown to others. Again, like I said, it's like a circle. And you'll see it, you'll know it. Because God is good to us. We got to be good to others. You know, our goal as men and women of God is to bring salvation to others through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We want to share him with others. And how do they see him? They see him in how we act and how we have those situations and how we treat others. Fifth, if we want to learn to be kind, we must practice kindness. Every day we should ask the Lord, Father, please show me at least one person I can be kind to today. We should look for opportunities to be kind and praise God whenever we find them, knowing that God is working through us whenever we show kindness to others. And that is our word today. And I say again, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And before we get out of here, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And I thank God for Sister Carolyn and her psalmist and the words that she give us every morning, thanking God for her. And the word for this morning is this: faith is not an emotion. It is a decision to stand on God's word. Have a faith-filled Friday. Can the church say amen? Again, right on point. So that's when you know someone is genuinely who God says they are. God has genuinely made my sister in Christ. She is a psalmist. And what God gives her is a true word. Today, what did we learn? We learned about faith. Is anything too hard for God? The answer is no, because we walk by faith and not by sight. Sarah laughed, but God said, you got to have faith that at your old age, I'm going to give you a child. Come on now. Abraham had faith. Even though he might have laughed, she might have laughed, they had faith. And they knew that whatever the Lord said is what the Lord would do. So think that through, family. Have a faith-filled Friday. And on Sunday, we will try to open the lines for those that need to speak. But I just say, family, keep God first. Be kind. Be faithful. And know that God said, I will not leave you or forsake you. And know that that is the truth. Because there is nothing too hard for our God. Again, is anything too hard for the Lord? The answer together, family, is no. And as we say every day, may the Lord watch between me and thee. While we're absent one from each other, in the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. If you are in the Springfield area and want to shut in, we will be having shut in tonight at the Table of Light, 2600 South 5th Street, for those that need to have that time. Just you and God. We got enough space that you can spread out and social distance. Please make sure you wear a mask. You know, bring your prayer pillow and be ready to fall out for God. You know, I'm going to be there. I got to work, but I'm going to be in prayer tonight. And I will be definitely lifting you up as you lift me up. Be blessed, family. It is a wrap.